So the talk is on the theme of the day, which is, thanks to Danny, a very nice title, Mi I Sheket Le I Shel Sheket. It's a good title. And so I can call it in English an Island of Stillness. So I just want to start by saying that the image of an island is actually very present in the Buddhist tradition. And one of the very earliest Buddhist texts, the Sutta Nipata, and one of the most beautiful pieces in that just says, someone asked the Buddha, I just see life as a rushing river, non-stop. Is there any place of rest? And the Buddha says, there is an island in the middle of the river, and it's an island which you cannot go beyond. It's there you stop. And it's the island of deep quiet where everything reaches its nibbana, its perfection, its completion. And at the last words of the Buddha, he said, be an island to yourself. It means you yourself become an island. And you might think an island in the stormy sea is rather cut off. But the truth is the islands are all connected under the sea. As William James said, the islands are anyway connected. But this image of an island it comes up again and again. And so I just want to start by saying that, by giving an image, a picture, of what this quiet is like. How is this quiet, this deep sheket? What is it like? And I wrote a poem, and kind of yesterday changed it a bit just for this day. So I would just like to share with you the poem in English to give a flavor of this deep quiet. Let's leave the rest to silence. Not the deadness of anesthesia or suppression, but a potent stillness which is the source of whispered secrets. The white page which is the source of these letters. Not an absence, but a presence that invites all things so that there is nothing left to say. The quiet of harmony, not the screech of friction, in which nothing needs to be done or undone, as it all happens by itself. Like the silence of the womb, Rechem, before it gave birth to noise. Or the silence of the question that begs no answer, that needs no answer. Or whatever is not the Big Bang, Mapatsa Gadol. The stillness where words have disappeared, as all descriptions no longer function. It is part of all of us. Do you remember? So the silence which, and the quiet which is in its nature in the world. It's not a silence which is out of the world, which has nothing to do with the world. It's a silence within things. And I just want to explain that in this talk and a little bit see how we can touch it more. But understanding of this silence or the quietness that is coming not because we shut down anything. This is very important. Not because we close things, but because everything is connected to everything else, so therefore there's no friction left. There's no chikuch. Like there's a silence between my hand and my arm. They're not fighting each other. The hand and the arm are totally connected, so they don't need to do anything. They don't need to shout at each other, unless the hand wants to go this way and the arm wants to go that way. Can we imagine what it's like if we are like that with our life? We don't need to fight anything. Life and us are one thing. So there's nothing left to make friction. Chikuch. The friction and the noise comes because we are here and life is there and we have separated ourselves and then we begin to struggle. I want more. I don't like this. It doesn't work for me. I am upset. I am angry. I want to change something. I want to fix something. I suffer. I need. I. And there's the noise. I. But, okay. We don't experience it like that. We all of us in samsara, and it's not personal. We're born into a situation and we feel life is full of noise and struggle. And we experience it just now, I'm sure all of us, that we sit quietly, mind our own business, not hurting anybody, and our thoughts, bah, is there noise, and is there disturbance, and is there issues, and chattering, and pointless thoughts that just don't seem to have any reason why they're there, and they just keep disturbing us about this, and about that, and about that, why don't you shut up? And we're innocent, we don't want all that stuff. And it feels like life is like that, that we just can't stop dancing. We're just dancing non-stop. And we can think today of the internet and the social world and the conflicts in the Middle East and in the whole planet and every day, you know, the amount of information and the amount of interaction and the amount of dispute and the amount of struggling that's going on and friction. And indeed, when the body stops, it doesn't go into deep quiet so easily, it begins to hurt. So we've been sitting here 45 minutes. I'm sure every one of us experienced discomfort in some place. That's noise. That's noise. That's one part of the body. It's not the hand fitting the arm. It's the hand fighting the arm. The hand saying, I don't like this. Something wrong here. That's noise. Isheket. So it's not at all simple. It is possible, but not at all simple. And the reason is samsara. In other words, something that is thousands of lifetimes of living bodies that are creating this. We almost can't help it. It's just the way we are born into a body and along comes noise with it. So it's something that is built in in a way. If we sit here, I was just in a retreat, came back a few days ago, and I was sitting in a meditation center for 1 month, just doing my practice, and it's amazing the amount of notes everywhere in the center saying, please be quiet. In other words, and it was like, don't flush the toilet water after 10 at night or before 6 in the morning. Don't be very quiet when you open the doors. Realize that the floor making a noise when you walk on the floor and there are people underneath, so walk on the floors quietly. All the time, little notes. And I was thinking, you know, what's the problem with noise? don't need to be afraid of noise. But there's something in us that feels disturbed. And so we need to shut down noise. But it's us that is disturbed, not the noise. The noise doesn't disturb anything. The sound is just sound. We say it's disturbance because we have in us this tendency, nitiya, or this readiness, muhanut, to be disturbed. So therefore, noise. So if in the middle of the meditation today there'd been bangs and been a tractor outside, we would have said, oh, this place clearly is terrible, is full of noise. You managing with the English?
Yes.
Great. I'm trying to keep it simple. The noise doesn't disturb us. We disturb the noise. Because of this readiness to be disturbed. Noise is just noise. More simple. It's just doing its thing. The wind is just making sound. Sound is no problem. We turn it into disturbance. And I won't go into it in detail now, but there's a very big, big teaching which is really the teaching of the Buddha when he became enlightened and he discovered in a way the mechanics, the way this disturbance in our life, the way it manifests. And I won't go into it now, it's called paticca-samuppada or dependent origination. Can you say it in Hebrew? Okay. And how that works in the consciousness of a human being is really, really known in the Buddhist. It's very highly developed. And it's a beautiful teaching, not for now. But you can read about it, or I have talks on this in the website of Tovana. You can listen to talks about this. It's a beautiful teaching, very deep and very precise, but not for now. But it involves the way we process the world, how we experience something. It's in the experience itself is the disturbance. All right? B'toch ha-chavaya atzmo. We can see it. So what are we going to do? So let me be practical. How are we going to deal with this? How are we going to find that silence? The first thing is we can't do it by force. Because it's like a mother to a child. It would say, stop shouting! The child says, but you're shouting. You can't do it like that. You can't say to the noise, shut up, because that's noise. But you can actually do it a little bit. And we did it together in this one day. And we did it, yes, by taking some actions, like saying, today we will not talk together. It's very simple, small thing to help. It is artificial, but it's setting different conditions. Secondly, we just tended to stop. We sat for 45 minutes. We didn't listen to our telephones. We did stop. We set conditions. The Buddha called it to be in seclusion. Seclusion is like being a monk, hidden root. Little bit, 45 minutes we did it. Half an hour we did it. It's like wrapping ourselves in a nice blanket and saying, okay, I'll keep the world out a little bit and I will reduce laktin et agiruim. So this is artificial, malachati, but it's a good first step. It's helpful to us. And that's why all these takim in the meditation center, it's a kind, because knowing that we forget. So the takim are reminding us, but it's still changing the conditions. Lashanot et atnaim. That's not more than help to us, but that's not the thing. But still, we should remember it, because it is important. It is not helpful to us to say, well, the Buddha said there's no such thing as sound and disturbance, so I can be all day on my mobile phone and telephones and arguing and there it's all silence. It doesn't work like that. We need to be wise. And so, for this reason, take your 1 hour, 40 minutes, 20 minutes every day for complete changing the condition, the habit of noise. Take a sitting, a walking in the nature, artificial. Close yourself to be a nazir, hitnazrut hetishah. Shut down. And it's helpful to change the condition. But that's only, in a way, a first step. And it does go with a certain lifestyle also. And I have to say this because it is part of the Buddhist teaching. And again, I won't go into it now, but the simplicity of life, the ability to renounce, levater, is actually important. The Klil is, to some extent, this village based on this. Because when we started off, we had no electricity, no television, no telephone, no nothing. And years we had no telephone, no electricity, and it was partly the simplicity. So just don't forget it. Because if we don't, it piles up. It just accumulates, just more and more and more and more and more. We don't need to do anything. And it just comes. We just get drowned very easily. But the practice is one first step for us can be what the first step for the Buddha. And the myth of the Buddha is that the first steps for him were the divine messengers. Shlichim is messengers. And they were not, like in the religious tradition of many religions, a voice of God or an angel that came and For the Buddha, it was the messengers were real life, but real life. A sick person, a dead body, a poor person, and a monk that had left everything. These were the four messengers for the Buddha. What are our messengers that tell us, you can't go on like this, wake up?
Disease.
Absolutely. Disease, but we don't even need to go to diseases. We all have diseases, but a wonderful example. But even the fact that we sit 45 minutes and our back is hurting, we, in a way, we are not anymore in the comfort zone. It's all nachut. The whole issue of comfort zone, that's already a messenger for us. That we sit and our body hurts, our mind hurts, with full of shtuyot and noise. We don't do anything. We're just simple. And what's going on? This is that, and this problem, and then this memory, and then I remember I fought with this person, and then my partner, my husband or my wife, start arguing with me, and then what did I do? Nothing. I'm just sitting here, and all this stuff comes. That's a messenger for us. That's a divine messenger. We need to wake up and see, wait a minute, I'm going to use the discomfort, the inachat, as a messenger and not as a problem, to help me to wake up and open my eyes and see, okay, things are difficult. There's difficulty there. And it brings us to a place like the Buddha of inquiry, chakira. What is it that's making me feel uncomfortable exactly? And here is exactly a situation in which, if you like, the hand is arguing with the arm. And we feel disturbed. The back is telling us, I hurt. Okay, let's look at it. The body is saying, I'm not comfortable. Good, right, let's have a look. There's noise there, there's disturbance. I am disturbed. And when we do that, we begin to go deeper into that. We go under the surface. That's when we begin to discover. If we really look, that's when we begin to discover the quiet places. Because, for example, that intimacy, even with a painful experience, is already quiet. It's already connected. Instead of fighting my difficult place, I am with it. I am close to it. I'm exploring. I'm interested in it. It's part of me. So it's kind of reconnecting again. So instead of the struggle, we are connecting. So, finding a quiet place, sitting 45 minutes, again and again, while I was sitting for a month, it takes time. I've been sitting for 30, 40 years. finding a quiet place, this is like the pool of water. Then we begin to see what's underneath. Where is the disturbance? And this is like looking at the mud under the water, a box, which we don't see if there's lots of waves. But if we quieten down, we see the mud. We begin to get close, we begin to find intimacy, intimiut. And we begin to discover, I'm in the world, and the world is me. Ani ha'olam, ha'olam betochi. Ani v'holam biyachad. And 1 minute, rega echad. I'm ani magish im ha'olam. I'm next minute we're fighting it. My back, my this, my that, my thoughts, my memory. The next minute it feels comfortable. The next minute uncomfortable. That's fine. Next minute good experience. Next minute difficult experience. That's fine. Because we're moving towards a place of connection where the world and me are one. And that's the journey, of our practice of meditation, of spiritual life, where we begin to join the world, when again the hand then joins the arm and there's no fight between them. On the way, we will discover all kinds of issues, problems, machsomim, you can call them, the isheket, the agitation, the discomfort, the comfort, discovering the comfort zone, hazor nachut, and then realizing how much we are depending on it, and letting it go, and it's a big journey. But the body is really helpful here. The body is for us the ma'abada. It's not that we want to use the body just to sort of control the body. But the body has all these things in it. It's a good place for us to discover. Sheket, isheket. And if we're connected to the body, we become connected to the world. So the body for us is very useful. But not only. If we really connect with the wind and the sound of the wind, we're already in the together. The wind and the person are one. Haruach, bachutz, the tzlilin, and the person, we are together. So there's quietness there. I want to read a small piece of a poem by Wordsworth, who describes this. That serene and blessed mood in which the feelings gently lead us on until the breath of this corporeal frame, this body, and even the motion of our human blood is almost suspended and we are laid asleep in the body and become a living soul, while with an eye made quiet by the power of harmony and the deep power of joy, we see into the life of things. So, an eye made quiet, we see into the life of things, what we're doing. And he mentions it needs joy and kindness. It's not a struggle. We don't want to add more struggle in the name of the end of struggle. So we can feel joyful, like we did perhaps a little bit in the walking. Ah, here I am walking on this earth. There's something joyful in that. The joy helps us to find quiet. If we feel joyful, we feel more quietness. So just the simplicity and the joy of simple things. We don't need the internet for that. We just need to sit with a cup of tea and watch the leaves. The joy, and we'll find quiet there. So there's a deep wisdom in the Dharma practice, in the teachings, which is very important, that, and it comes from this place, that in order to find our natural connection and inner peace with us and the world, we don't need to fight ourselves. Now we may say, wait a minute, that's crazy, because what that means, all that stuff in my mind just stays. I need to, if I have memory of or habit of a tavniyot in the mind, I need to get rid of them. I need to limchok the negative things. I need to censura, because there's so much rubbish there. But it's not quite like that. The truth is, and you may know what I'm talking about, or you may not, but if we get close to the content, a tochen, of our life, whether it's in the body, whether it's a disease, whether it's in the mind, whether it's somebody else, whether it's whatever it is, if we get close, we see that things come and go by themselves, so that we don't really need to get rid of things or to fight them. Because in their nature, everything comes and goes anyway. If we really get close to that and we see, well, nothing really stays. It goes by itself. It may come back because we kind of give it room. But if we see it honestly, it's just everything's going like this. Just like the leaves. And it leads to some real insights. And it's the insight, the tovanot, tovana, tovanot, the insight that bring us a deep quiet. The insight that these things don't stay and they don't belong to us. If you now think of a disturbing thought that you had when you were meditating before, or even think about maybe what you're thinking right now, even a disturbing thought right now, like, it's all bullshit. What Stephen is saying is bullshit. I don't like it. It just disturbs me. I don't know. Okay. But if you look at that thought, is it yours really? Or did it just come? Did you invite it? Did you ask for it? Is it really yours? Does it belong to you? Where does it come from? Did you ask? Did you say, I want to have this thought right now? Things come by themselves. And they go by themselves. And they don't really belong to us anyway. And this deep insight is what brings us deep quiet. So we're just keep remembering that. We're not in a world of kind of manipulation. Tzrich livnot olam yoter tovli. Vezeh kol ha-meditatzia v'kol ha-tirgul ruchani v'kol. All the spiritual practices to try and redesign my life. The taken, everything. It's not that. The whole spiritual practice is for insight into the fact that everything is happening by itself, nothing needs to disturb anything, doesn't really belong to us anyway. It's a transpersonal understanding, beyond the self and the person. So this needs some patience, needs time to begin to understand this. We need to keep practicing. We need to go again and again. We need to allow these insights to come in their own way. The sense that, yeah, it doesn't really belong to me. I don't really have to worry about this. Things are happening because they happen. And just slowly, slowly to let through, I would say, joy and understanding and inner harmony, just to let that wisdom arrive, keep arriving. Just invite that wisdom, that realization, that tovanot. Keep inviting them again and again, opening, being open to them. Again and again and again and again. And they grow. And then we find the quiet happens by itself. We don't need to hunt for it. It's just that that's the end of friction. Sof shel chikuch. Between us and the world. And then we know that deep peace. Thank you.